Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 201 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
Pretty good. I think this issue of the show, we might want to put it aside because this is the issue where the Madeline Pryor baby shows up, which will eventually become Cable. Uncanny X-Men 201 for the longest time was that, oh my God, it's the first appearance of baby Cable. You know, it's just...
Well, I can tell you what it definitely matter. Is. It definitely is. At least I hope it will be a cake horn free episode because I bust my cake horn finger last episode censoring you out, Larry.
That cracked me up. That was the funniest thing. I try not to take an. They say like the sign, one of them signs of insanity is taking enjoyment out of something you do, but I was laughing way too hard for that. I did see something funny over the weekend. One of our listeners, Travis, sent a slew of photos from he got from these quarter bins, 50 cent bin comics. And one of them in particular was a comic called Crackbusters. Oh, and God. He's like, I wonder if the writer of the Punisher letter, the guy beating up people in a graveyard who are selling drugs, created this comic. And it's so awful looking. It's like the most generic costume ever. Oh, no. And then the cross out, you know, do not like, you know, the against symbol, you know, the circle with the slash through it and a vial of crack in the center of it. That is the worst. It looks like Vigilante from DC. Like not even the cowboy Vigilante. We're talking the mid 80s, like lame Vigilante.
Oh, the guy in the, like the snow bunny costume with the weird visor.
Yep. Yep, cool pistol. That's basically these costumes.
I kind of like that.
I hate it. I hated that. I hated it as much as I love Walt Simonson. I hated the 80s Manhunter. You know, where he looked like he's like wearing some kind of karate gi. He's got little ninja stars all over him. I hate that. But we are here. We are here.
We're here. We have no fear. We have two ears.
I'm about to say we're here.
We throw no spears.
But we have come to a crossroads, as it were, when it comes to music and videos. And we normally do we as many times as we've done our mixtapes.
Yeah.
We've never touched upon this subject.
Well, it kind of popped up in my head when we recorded our last episode and we got stuck talking about VHS.
Yeah.
And we talked about how both of us were VHS adopters from an early age in our houses. And one of the most common things I remember you talked about at the age of four, recording films, remembering how to do it. One of my favorite things was getting up early of a Saturday or Sunday morning and recording my favorite film clips. For me, the film clip was as much integral to the presentation of the song as it was the music itself. And there's certain things which I think have stood the test of time. Number one, where the film clip has added to the meaning of the music. And number two, where the presentation has been somewhat formative and at the very least creative and innovative in its presentation, that it couldn't have just happened by chance and that it would not be easy to reproduce.
Well, with that, many years ago, this is before the internet, folks. This is how... I can't believe I did this. Nobody taught me how to do this. This was crazy. We're talking 98, 99, around 2000. Before internet, before I had the internet, before accessibility. Sure. Being out in the country, you really don't have much choices. Dial up. And then it was like just way too expensive. Or you get one of the AOL tryout thing, do it for a while, then cancel it. Hey, I'm a kid. You can't charge me. And then like, dag on it. And so that kind of stuff. I picked it up for $5. It was a karaoke stereo. It was like the two tape decks, everything like that. I hooked it up the audio left and right channel audio to my VCR, and because my VCR is hooked up TV through other cables, so I could record the audio from either a tape or when I had the PlayStation hooked up to it or a DVD to a cassette tape.
Nice.
And same thing. And so, like, Scarface is on. Well, I don't want the money to go buy the Scarface soundtrack. So I would go in like this, like I'd record Scarface for my personal, you know, viewing later. But then push it through the limit, you know, like your money counter like that. It's like I would play. And so I'd be walking around with a Walkman, a cassette. Well, I've always got the CD. I still got the cassette. Because the CD would skip, even with an anti-skip option, it still is.
Yeah, of course.
Walking around listening to this like mixtape of songs, like not even full songs from movies and like when Three Kings came out, like I'm pretty much, because there's a ton of good songs in that movie, like pretty much all, you know, all the songs in there. So I slammed it in there and everything. So the dialogue, when I hear the song without the dialogue in my head, I hear the dialogue, which is makes me sound like a crazy person. But
we've established that the music video, as yes. such, is in many respects just as important as the music itself. So I wanted to ask you, Larry.
Yes.
What are your top five music videos?
The Amp King of Frequency. All right. First off, number five. We got to start at five. Okay, 5-1.
So you're going in a 5-1 order. I can't do that. I can't. I can't give order to the, like. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
The reason I give order to it because it's like I need a little bit of order to the mail. Because if I, you know, I guess from passionate to more passionate, I'll put it that way.
All right, I'm gonna have to do that now then. Okay, fine.
Well, okay, but my number five, which is Beastie Boys Intergalactic. Now the reason is I always liked the Beastie Boys because, you know, I'd stay up late during the summer, and MTV after like about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they would show like pretty much on Saturday nights during the summer or during the weekends. MTV would at times show music videos actually after midnight. So after I'd watch Saturday Night Live, which I, you know, whatever, but they would go to MTV and they'd show music videos or VH1 as well. And they would have like, they'd have old Beastie Boys stuff. You know, of course they have Sabotage, which is a classic, but the one that hooked me was Intergalactic because it's so cheap. I love Power Rangers. I love Godzilla. I love the Kaiju stuff. And it's so cheap and it's so infectious, and it doesn't like Sabotage. You know, I get the whole 70s, you know, TJ Hooker, you know, whatever, that kind of vibe, whatever. And, you know, Fight for Your Right, it's classic. But for me, it's Intergalactic because it touches upon all these little things I love, from the giant monsters to the kaiju, to the, you know, anymore from Power Rangers kind of stuff. And it's so cheap. And I love the cheapness of it. I get caught up with that. Your pencil neck called Mr. Spot. And I cannot help. But when they use the Beastie Boy, like for the 2009 Star Trek, when they use that, only thing I can think of is, okay, this doesn't make no sense because they got a song and they call out Spock. This is stupid. Why did, like, and so it made me angry. And so that made me angry.
Look,
that
idea. I'm a fat white man in his 30s. So it's somewhat anathema for me to say I never really got Beastie Boys, but for as much as I respected them, I lost all of that when Star Trek.
Hey, you can't blame them.
The Star Trek 3 boot came out. I was tired of it in the first one, but I was well and truly sick of it by the time the third one came out.
You can't blame them for that. It's like when these political candidates.
No, they okayed it. They okayed it.
I think only two of them were still alive at that point. So,
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No, I don't know if they okayed it because like a lot of these companies, like that's the thing. Like these guys, they probably sign early, and those little rights about what gets used where, you know, I don't know. I'd give them a benefit of the doubt. But okay. Yeah, Jim Kirk on a dirt bike in the 2300s doesn't make any sense. Alien planet dirt biking for no good reason.
I don't know. That's all I hear now. But still, completely valid, and it ties in, and I can respect how much it ties in, that visual element that makes the experience more memorable than the music in and of itself. And that, to be honest, is the benefit of the music video. That's really why we have it. That's why I feel a little jilted when it's just a locked up shot of someone singing with you know, fade in of the background of the drummer or the bass player, and the, you know, I
feel the same way. It's like, as much as I like Intergalactic, I can't hear the song without picturing the music video in my head. And it just, the song by itself just doesn't, if I could get the music video out of your head, it just would not have the same impact.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So, is it my turn?
Yes, your turn.
I've done a hasty order, and, keep in mind, I think we might have to do some honorable mentions at the end of this.
Because of course. I got some as well.
Good. My number five is a band who I've never really dug music-wise. I thought they'd been quite hipstery and pretentious. And their film clips are the definition of hipstery and pretentious. But I just got to respect this one clip so much. It's the band OK Go. And no, it's not the song where they're on the treadmills. It's a song of theirs called The One Moment. Do you know about this?
I do not. So thankfully, when this episode goes up, their videos will be linked in the description, so I can go watch it. So folks, if you don't know what Antonio's talking about, just like me, then you can go ahead and listen as well and watch.
That's right. It was actually directed by the lead singer of the band, I think. And the film clip is shot, let me just find here. The entire clip is shot in 4.2 seconds, Larry.
That's impressive.
So it's a 4.2 second shot slowed down over the length of the track. And in perfect sync. Obviously, they've had to do some masterful editing and speeding up slowly and slowing it back down to get it there. Mm-hmm. But it is just, as far as my definition for something that enhances the original work and is very hard to reproduce, it's transformative. All the OK Go clips are extremely ambitious and to be respected works in and of themselves. They've somewhat hurt themselves somewhat with this reputation they've got for putting out bigger and better clips each time. And I do watch a lot of them with my kids, but yeah, number five for me is The One Moment by OK Go.
Okay. I look forward to checking out the clip when this episode goes up. For me, my fourth place one, I wonder if you thought, if you thought this might be on my list before. You knew one of them. You knew one would definitely be up there because you know me oh too well. Mm-hmm. But this one is Weezer, Buddy Holly. And the main reason
I suspect this would be here.
I've always hated Forrest Gump. Not because, this Southern dummy and all this. The gimmick of, he's been inserted in all these things and he's had all these crazy adventures and ran and all, like, to me it was boring. But anybody else doing that kind of putting it, the inserts of a people or something into another thing, like the Trials and Tribulations episode of Deep Space Nine, where they go back and they're inserted into the old original series, like the characters are inserted in the background and interacting with Kirk and crew and everything. And, there's the remastered, the Klingons. Where are Klingons? Where? Like, they're just like painted brown with their little Fu Manchu mustaches. Like, what happened to the ridges? Was it a virus? Was it a mutation? And it was like, that's exactly what it was. They just said, there you go. We write that in. But with Weezer, Buddy Holly, I was always a fan of Happy Days. Happy Days, Bewitched, and not Bewitched. Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie, and all that, the TV Land stuff I used to watch as a kid.
Yep.
But Happy Days, I had the vinyl record soundtrack, and that's the first soundtrack I just first vinyl record I thought I could try DJing on, going zicka zicka like that, and it, I messed up the record player and the record. But watching that show, being a fan of it, and then seeing that music video, I was like, wow, this is impressive, because it looked good, it fit, it worked, and it's, I like the song. It was so another one of those things, like combining together. And I think it was actually on they were getting rid of computers from one of the schools my uncle worked at, and he had like two or three computers. They gave us one. Mm-hmm. And it was like an Apple or Mac or some kind of Apple computer or whatever. But on the computer, very, very low res, was Buddy Holly on this Apple computer.
And that's, this is like, that's interesting, because you know how that film initially gained notoriety, yeah?
I don't.
It was on the Windows 95 installation disc.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
This
it
is
was
on it. This is one on of the
first
.dot
.mov files to gain public notoriety, and it was on the Windows 95 install disk. Kind of like a, hey, look what we can do now.
Well, the main reason I know it was on I'm taking too many hits to the head. Possibly I might be misremembering this, but I'm pretty sure it was Apple, because there was a built-in mic to this. And I remember I tried singing Buddy Holly one time and I gave up, and I started. So instead I did a quote unquote kamikaze run where I was like yelling Banzai and ever increasing Banzai yells. So it's like Banzai charges. I think I watched Tora recently around that time. And so whatever, but so Buddy Holly for me for number four.
No, it's a great one. And to be honest, when it first came out, especially when it was, released, I remember it in that .mov format, the overlaid imagery was totally seamless in 320 by 240.
Little pixelated,
yeah,
artifacts everywhere.
It's a bit different now. You can definitely see where he's laid it over and laid it on, or got the stunt Fonzie out swaggering off in the distance. It's still great. Yeah. And still doesn't do anything to dispel my brain thinking bad things about Fonzie. I mean, what kind of grown man hangs out in the boys' toilets giving young boys tips on seduction?
And ordering them to go to the bathroom. Yeah, that's another thing. Come in here, get in here,
hey, kind of come stuff. Meet me in my office.
And he's not adverse to hitting things to make him work.
No.
So, that's his gimmick. You don't know where the thumbs have been, man. You don't know where the thumbs have been.
Right. On that note, somewhat disturbingly, I don't know if you knew, my next pick is a Michael Jackson song.
Oh, the King of Pop.
The King of Thumbing Little Boys.
Hey, no, that's wrong.
Allegedly.
Slander. Allegedly. Because he owned too much of Sony and they were scared.
You can't slander the dead, Larry.
The estate might come after you, though. The estate might.
He's abusive, manipulative, cantankerous, and ungrateful parents might come after me. Anyway, you can pretty much throw a rock at Michael Jackson's oeuvre of works and hit a decent film clip. However, this one was one of my favorites as a child. It thrilled me and entertained me as much as it chilled me a little as well. I first encountered on one of my favorite films, which was Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, as a child. And that's Leave Me Alone. I don't know if you know this one.
I've never seen Moonwalker in full. I've seen like three quarters of it. I've seen most of it.
Sure.
I've never actually sat down and watched the whole thing, but I know Leave Me Alone. Of course, Smooth Criminal.
Yeah,
by itself, but Leave Me Alone is actually it's bizarre. I put it in the same category as like Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer. It's
exactly that caliber. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I just it's dreamlike, and it was Michael Jackson embracing all the scurrilous rumors and allegations about him at the time, and sort of pastiching them all into this sort of carnival ride that he goes through, only to end up in this Gulliver's Travels type scenario. Words can't do it justice. It's just a...
It's bizarre.
It's a bizarre nightmare dreamscape, almost.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you actually can... Like, you can see where he's coming from, but it's not just like, oh, pity me kind of stuff. But it's like, hey, I'm going to do something entertaining as well as something cathartic.
But the other thing is, it was all done pre-computers. It was done animated the old-fashioned way.
The stop-motion animation, which
With photos and film that had been broken down. So it's just, it's a real treat. Well, real pleasure. For me, that little chilling bit, that little bit of fear is I think an important motivator with music for me. It's kind of like getting a little bit of salt in your sweet. I like it when there's...
Confirmed for a sea salt caramel fan.
That's it there. But I like it when there's a bit of darkness framing the edges of my music. That's my number three.
Nightman, there you go. That right there. That's the number four, right?
That was my number four. Sorry. Yep.
Okay. My number three. This was one I missed recording it on one of the MTV or VH1 one time. So the next day it was on my mind. I couldn't get it off my mind. So I called up local radio station and pressed record. And I requested the song for the radio. And I recorded my voice on the radio. And it's like, I was douchey as all hell, whatever. It's the first time I ever called on a radio station. But the request, hey, I'm going to get this song. I turned the radio down because I realized I didn't want to do whatever. But so the song I got requested because I missed the music video so much, but finally eventually came back on and recorded it. This is before internet, folks, so I could just go to YouTube right now and get this video instantly. Pearl Jam, Do the Evolution, which is the Kevin Altieri directed, with that Spawn, the animated series style of animation. Altieri also worked on Batman animated series, but this style is more akin because it's much more detailed than the Batman animated series. Not as stylized in that Bruce Timm style. This is more of that Spawn style, the brutality, the darkness, the color palette. I mean, the only downside about the video is, I understand the reason it didn't have the swastika in it. It's supposed to be there, but because of, whatever international stuff, this, that, whatever, displaying the Nazi imagery, even though it's Nazi imagery, sans swastika. So it's like... but it's the brutality of man and all that. And it's just like going, caveman stuff. It's just beautifully done. I really like the song. It's like, I'm not a huge Pearl Jam fan, but I like this song. I love the music video. I love the combination, just the imagery, the napalm strike on the village and there's like crying children and the pilot pulls off the his mask and he's like a skeleton laughing underneath. I love this imagery. Just perfect. The visceral nature of it that, one thing I hate about most movies when they do the true monster was man, but it, in a way it is, but it's being blunt, but it's in an entertaining way. And I can forgive any thoughts like that, for this.
That's right. And that's what these music videos are about. It's when the effort is put in that this comes out. Number three for me is a weird one. If you've been paying attention to our mixes, this one you've probably already heard. I'm pretty sure it was on one of our either chill out or feeling down mixes. This is the song The Spoils, a collaboration between Massive Attack and Hope Sandoval, who's the lead singer for Mazzy Star, big sort of shoegazer folk alternative outfit in the 90s. You might remember from
Sopranos. Forever soundtrack.
I was going to say Batman Forever or Sopranos. Is it the one where they're burying Big Pussy? It ends at the funeral, and Look On Down from the Bridge is playing. Anyway,
I think I think that might be the case. It's been a while since I've seen Sopranos.
Season one, yeah.
We've also talked about how Sopranos just bleeds together. So
That's right. But anyway, Hope Sandoval is a beautiful voice. Absolutely transformative voice. And Massive Attack are known for these just dark, sparse, yet somewhat diabolical atmospheres that they create with their combination of electronic production and some acoustic elements. Why I really like this clip is it's done something very weird. It's scanned in a photo or a 3D model, or I don't even know what it is, of actress Kate Blanchett's face or head, and then just run multiple different rendering paths over it. It sort of is kind of like watching a mummification process. It's kind of like watching this face transform back into its most rudimentary of shapes, looking like hewn stone. It's combined with the music. I feel like I know death watching this.
That's incredible. Okay.
So that exactly sums it up for me. It's directed by an Australian-Canadian director. He's done a lot of film clips for Depeche Mode, Muse, Nick Cave, Manic Street Peaches. This guy, Neil Finn, Placebo, Bush, all the way back to Susie and the Banshees and Elvis Costello in the late 80s. There you go. He did the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack as well. A short machinima to promote the game Red Dead Redemption in 2010, The Man from Blackwater. So he does a whole mixed bag full of stuff. There's a cool Australian Western called The Proposition that he shot. That's going to be there in my mix, and obviously it's there because it encompasses that bittersweet up plus down fascination I have. Larry?
Very bittersweet. That seems to be your calling card right there, bittersweet. Mm-hmm. For me, I clearly my stuff's all over the place. Well, not really that all over the place. It's weird. But my number two, my second choice, would happen to be a Michael Jackson music video. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of great ones. We've talked about that. This is my favorite. It harkens back to it. Well, it had meaning before, but it has even more meaning now. Beat It. And the reason it has more meaning, I'm not a huge fan of musicals. I really don't care for, Rocky Horror Picture Show. I like that because it's bizarre, weird, everything like that. It's dumb, sure. Kind of crazy comic booky. I've never liked West Side Story. I've given it more than one chance. West Side Story stinks. I do not like it. It's too polished. But Beat It is like West Side Story, but with better music, better visuals, people crawling out of the sewers, gangs, knife fights, all that stuff, everything you want. Dirty, sleazy New York. You feel like the Ninja Turtles could show up any moment. Daredevil, the Hand, Elektra, this kind of stuff could happen. It's like Dark Knight Returns. I'm expecting a crime alley and a couple of parents getting gunned down in front of the child. And then Eddie Van Halen guitar solo in that right there, because I didn't know that was Eddie Van Halen. I was like, man, this whoever does the music side of this, incredible. Turns out it's Eddie Van Halen from Van Halen, and it's this like, dun, 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 dun. Hey, it's good enough for Junkie XL to homage it as Deadpool's theme, quote, heavy, unquote.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things. It's like West Side Story boiled down into like 4 minutes or 3 minutes, however long it is. And just, that, beat. It's just a little, just like, I kind of want to watch it now. It's like one of those things. It's like, it gets me. But That's my second choice.
Okay. My second choice is a film clip where, and I'm going to help you, I think you'll guess it. The concept art was made by the director who first listened to the song, and he wrote down the words milk, sexual, surgery, and white porcelain.
Oh, man.
He then did a drawing of a cyborg smiling and of two robots kissing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it The World's Not Enough?
No. It's All Is Full of Love by Björk. But
oh, my God. I kind of get confused with those two because yeah. Both of them have the cyborgs and stuff.
That's right. The World Is Not Enough is a great one. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's better than the movie.
It's way better than the movie. But concept artist Chris Cunningham, who's done a few collaborations with Björk, also done Aphex Twin, Square Pusher, whole bunch of the that experimental scene.
That group of people, because like, all them videos seem in the same wheelhouse. Not the same, but similar.
Yeah,
like you see where it's kind of, okay, that makes a lot of sense that there was a conceptualized by the same guy.
And so. I'm sure if this was done by anyone else, his Window Licker video clip for Aphex Twin would be in there. But for me, it's all about All Is Full of Love, where this beautiful sort of somewhat chilled, trip-hoppy feel of a Björk song, arguably one of the more accessible, is played over this footage of sort of automated machinery, kind of like a weird futuristic factory line, until you realize that it's a female robot being approached by another seemingly female robot, and they proceed to robo-fornicate on screen with the milks and lubricants going everywhere. It's far less lascivious and perverse as it sounds. It's one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever watched, and yet it's so clinical and cold. It may as well be black and white. It's all whites and blues and neon greens, but and they've done a masterful job for its time. This is in the early to mid thousands of superimposing Björk's face in white geisha makeup over the white head of the robot seamlessly, so it looks like she is the robot. They were so into this project that if you buy the album this song is from, it's a completely different song. She made this version of the song just for the film clip. So it's part of, yeah, that whole process of making something more, making something transformative by combining the two mediums. Words wasted. Just jump onto the YouTube and watch it.
Just watch it.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. What's your number one, Larry? I'm curious.
Well, before you get number one, I want to mention some honorable mentions. I have two honorable mentions. The first honorable mention, ironically, is called One by Metallica. It is pre their Black album, and in the music video, it's, you know, it when you think it's a 7-minute long video, and you think, okay, it's going to just be, it's a late 80s rock video. It's going to be them in a warehouse, black and white kind of stuff, and just rocking out, whatever. But the music video uses elements from, I think, two or three movies. And they integrate audio clips from the movies. And I forgot the name of the movies. One of them in particular is about a guy who gets basically the song basically is like, you know, landmine has taken my sight, taken my speech, taken my hearing, taken my arms, taken my legs, taken my soul. Now I'm living life in hell. Basically, this guy, he's alive, but he has no voice. He can't see. He can only feel. He's awake, but nobody can hear him. He doesn't have arms and legs. He can't speak. His face is like covered in like this mask because there's like no face left. They have to stick him with tubes to feed him. Like, basically, it's being, they think, oh, his brain dead, so they're treating him like he's a burden. And so as the video goes on, he's like, you know, this internal monologue, like, I just, at least if I had legs, I could run away. If I had arms, I could, you know, but I have nothing. And so if like he figures out how he can basically hit, he can move, starts to be able to move. And so he's able to kind of in his way tap out SOS and then starts tapping out kill me over and over, telling like these military people, like doctors and nurses, kill me, just kill. And it's a depressing video. And it's like this, like there's a segment, it's a movie with Jason Robards in it, and there's like this little boy is like, you know, what does democracy mean? Does it mean it's like, you know, any parent would, you know, sacrifice their child for democracy kind of stuff. And it's like this really heavy-handed, but it perfectly works.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh god, it's oppressive. It's like 7 minutes long. And then I love the music. I know you're not a hard rock person, you're not that kind of thing, but this
I actually am.
Okay. Well, it's a very
there's a time and a place.
There, I love the dirty, but like this diesel sounding, you know, the drums, the guitar, the bass, everything's like, it sounds like a machine about to break down, like spit a rod and piston, like it's like an old truck. My second one is one I don't know if you would. I debated on putting on there, but it's like it didn't make the cut. It's like the way it didn't make the cut. This was "Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me" by U2.
That would have been mine, if not for the fact that the video has been scrubbed from the internet.
There was one video, I thought, and then it turns out it was somebody decided to put Batman Begins clips in there.
I've noticed that.
And that made me angry. That made me very, very angry. And it's on the I have this like Batman 4-pack, and it's the Blu-ray set, and it's one of the bonus features on there is the video. Ah. But I don't know how to rip, you know, they have that and the Kiss from a Rose. But you know,
it would have gone on there for mine, except I've been looking at it several times. So I wanted to show my kids, so I reckon they'd dig it. I think it's actually one of U2's better songs, but obviously it's been lost in some rights issue somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably something to do with like Warner Brothers or something. Who knows? I really enjoy the song. I love the music video. I love that stylized cartoony art.
Well, it's a great double header with the Do the Evolution. It's got that similar kind of freneticism to it. Same color palette.
I think it might have been directed by Kevin Altieri as well. I'm not sure. But
okay.
It might have been. Don't quote me, but I think it might have.
Okay, cool. Any others in your shortlist?
That was pretty much it. That was like those two right there, because I was going through and, yeah, that's pretty much, like, I mean, there was classics. You know, you got Aha, Take On Me and stuff like that by Steve Barron. But those two were like ones like, you know, meant quite a bit to me, but they didn't make the list.
Directed "Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me" by Kevin Godley and Maurice Linane.
Okay, that's probably that's what got me confused with Kevin Altieri, who did "Do the Evolution." So I'm thinking, that's probably why I thought wrong.
Author Vishnya Kogan said the video crystallizes and concludes the Zoo TV period of U2 and the changes that occurred for the band during that time. Interesting. My shortlist, let me just pull it up, is a bit long. The Avalanche's Frontier Psychiatrist. If the rest of the band's output wasn't so hipsterish, this is still a great song and a great
clip. No offense, but when you said that, I was like, am I having a stroke? Do I smell burning toast? You know, that kind of thing.
It's I'll share you the clip. You might think that even more after watching the clip. David Lee Roth's California Girls. As much as that seems tongue-in-cheek, that is art. That is
Americana. That is Americana on film.
That's 80s Americana in a nutshell. Yes. So I think that's to be respected. Just by Radiohead, a great little sneaky what-if premise wrapped up in a killer song. One of my favorites for a long time. The Foo Fighters clip, and a lot of their clips are great, but Everlong, directed by Michel Gondry.
That's probably my favorite Michel Gondry thing ever. So
yeah,
that right there, I'm not a big
REM's "Losing My Religion" it's definitely another one for me. It's been a trope ever since of making your film clip look like a painting. I mean, Kanye's done two or three joints like that. This, in my mind, was one of the first film clips that really tried to evoke the feel and references of a Renaissance painting in song. Another one was Royksopp's Happy Up Here, which is a great little sort of... It's a weird little joint. It starts off as all these kind of ads that merge together into what I think would have been the precursor to that horrible Adam Sandler film, Pixels. If you Google it, you will you'll know exactly what I mean. And then the last one, but not the least, I've just put down the band name because I forgot the name of the song. It's the band's called Bird and the Bee. And they've got a song that's directed by Tim and Eric. But I've forgotten. It's something like Bizarre Love Song or something. Anyway.
You did remind me of another one I was going to include in my list early on, but I decided not to because it just kind of made me, it depressed me, along with like one. Royksopp, When I Grow Up. Ah. That was that was going to be on my list early on, and then like I gravitated towards, you know, stuff like Intergalactic and you know, stuff like that.
It's good. I think between the two of us, we got it covered. That title of the song, "Bird and the Bee," polite dance song. I still find that to be a hoot. Larry, I think it's time for our number ones. What's yours? Okay.
My number one, and you called it because you know me too well, as I said, it is one that I think says like, yeah, that's a Larry choice, all right. Nine Inch Nails, Closer, because it's like, hey, you like David Lynch's Seven, you like twisted imagery and like bizarre nightmare stuff, like what is this? Is this a dream? Is this some kind of serial killer kind of deal? Then this is the music video for you folks. I grew up in a time when, this is how old I am, folks. I grew up when that was radio played. This was like bleeped and all. Like the material, the concept of the song is about effing someone like an animal. So there you go, folks. You don't. But the music video, like MTV had censored it, and I remember like, you could watch the uncensored version. I was like, you know, I think there was like people had it on VHS tape, like you know that kind of thing. It's like one of those deals, like the. You know, band music videos, band stuff, whatever. It's like, but now you can go and watch it on YouTube. And it's just, you know, monkey crucifixes and spinning pig heads. And the hell is this? I don't know. Like, am I awake or am I asleep? It's like, I would love to like really mess with someone who's never seen it. And it's like, you know, they're like I don't, not drug them, but where they're really late at night, like they're kind of sleepy, and then just put that on before they go to sleep and see what kind of night terrors they have. It's like, what is this? So not let them look away. It's like the Alex DeLarge Clockwork Orange things and keep their eyes open.
It's a great clip. It's really a tour de force. If it wasn't in your mix, it would have been in mine. I definitely think it's one of the greatest clips of that time.
You made it sound like if you know, like he's like, I'll keep mine on standby because I have a feeling he's gonna pick this. You know, they're gonna
exactly. I know you, Larry. I know you. But yeah, as far as the brief of something that accompanies and augments the music and what hadn't been done before, not to that level, and has rarely been replicated since. It's just out there. My number one, it was a bit of a popular dance joint in around 2001, but it's kind of disappeared into nowhere. The band had some pop popularity. You heard the band Basement Jacks?
Oh yeah. Where's Your Head At?
That's the one. That's the clip.
That's the West that you chose?
Yep.
Oh God, I love that thing. It's like the little, and what's funny enough, I got back into Basement Jacks because two things got me into Basement Jacks. One was Tomb Raider, the first Tomb Raider movie,
great which has soundtrack. That in it. Great soundtrack.
And now, you know what? That's actually is the greatest movie ever. No, but it's a really good, fun movie. It's weird, like, damn, Craig, what? Like, he shows up in it, you know, all that stuff. You know, he's actually in the film. But great soundtrack. And Appleseed, the CGI Appleseed movie.
I like that.
Because they had Basement Jacks on there as well. Good Luck.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's Coro and Paul Oakenfold and that's a great soundtrack for that CG anime movie. Basement Jacks, where's your head? I love it. Great choice.
Well, it's a great little short film to be honest. It's a music critic arriving at a science lab who've been told they've cracked pop music. And they lead him into a room to show him how they're basically brain swapping monkeys with musicians, and I'll take it. You can just watch it from there. But in my head, 2001 was where we really started to see Hollywood style cinematography appear on the small screen. For film clips. I mean, you can say, yeah, Black and White by Michael Jackson was the most expensive film clip ever made, and it did this, and it did firstly the face morph thing, but that almost exists in and of itself. You had, you know, small independent directors like the Tractor Enclave who did Where's Your Head At? Doing these things which looked as good, if not better, than A-list Hollywood cinema of its time.
Exactly. I mean, you had for every, cinematography, the direction for Thriller, for Beat It, for, you know, the Madonna videos, Like a Prayer, for example, stuff like that. Great looking movie. If, you know, that was an hour and a half long movie like that, it was looking that good, it worked. But those are, it seemed, the uptick in, like you said, in quality around 2000, 2001, like, you know, Where's Your Head At? I watched it, you know, watched the music video, listened to the song, watched the music video and everything. And just the visual concept, you know, the human faces on these little monkeys. And like, you think, oh, I could just punch that monkey if it got in my, but these things, you got to think, like, you know, what kind of diseases they throw the crap at you, you know, they got the little cloth like fingers, you know, they could tear your eye out, you know, you get them, they wrap around you. And I'm thinking, like, and like, you know, they're attacking and everything. I was like, you know what? I kind of wish I had a shotgun right now. But I was in that case, like, boom. It's like, but yeah, it's one of those things that's kind of a little terrifying. And that right there is like that little, you can enjoy the, oh, it's a little funny little monkey thing, but, you know, you're listening to the music and everything and the visuals and maybe if, like, you got a little nervous from watching something, but it's a music video. It's not real, but it's one of those things. A serial killer in a movie with a chainsaw or a hockey mask and a machete, that doesn't scare me. But like these little monkeys that are crawling all over this little box you're in that you're trapped in.
Yeah.
You know, they're peeking in, they're going to go terrifying. And get you. It's otherworldly with the faces too. So yeah, that's another thing. So.
Anyway, we live in a glorious sort of renaissance of film clips with this hyper YouTube age that we're in. I only hope it doesn't disappear too quickly as everything goes more into the YouTube music Spotify space where people just listen rather than watch. They don't even listen, really. It's just music to boink to or get high to now.
It's like, that's the thing, like, that is poor music and that's poor movies. If you have to get high or drunk to enjoy, that's bad. That means it's like adding, you got to add a lot of spices to something, that means it's a bad meal. If you got to add, it's like the saying about steak. If you got to add steak sauce to a steak, then it's a bad steak.
Yeah.
You know, a good steak.
That's if you got to. I still like some steak sauce now and again. Especially
if you get some dry steak, if you know. I get that. But me, some real butter, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, maybe a little bit of garlic. Just put that in there. Rub that. Melt the butter on top of the steak. Gently. A little bit of pepper.
Now get firm.
No, we're not going down this street.
It's the way your voice dropped. And a little bit of garlic, girls.
A little bit of garlic.
Smear that with butter.
Yeah, garlic, yeah.
Oh, okay, this is getting gross. On that note, we're going to stop. If you wish to continue this after hours and have a deep, intense ASMR session with Larry King, what's the best way to get in touch with you, Larry?
At Larry King, at Larry King Undead on Twitter.
Oh, I'm going to pan that from left to right to left again. If you want to get in touch with me, I'm not going to do any ASMR for you. I'll tell you where to go, though. At Antonio Sanciolo, you can hit us up podcast at ankingfrequency.com, as well as our Facebook page, The Ant King Frequency. Thank you all, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Ant King Frequency is copyright 2019 by White Tiger Graphics.